Hey, everybody. Welcome to Riding with the Queen here on 101.5 UMFM. I am your host, Rami Mays, and it is great to be back. Holy, after quite the hiatus I've had there. I am here as your humble host and music historian every Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, with the pleasure of presenting a different rock icon or band every week, and I sort of like arc their music career and weave in music that shaped their career throughout the show. And this week, I'm dedicating the show to the ultimate rock guitar god, Malcolm Young of the multi-million record-selling rock band AC/DC. Though Malcolm Young was not even the best-known young brother in the band that he founded, Malcolm was in many ways the band's driving force, its most astute musician, a key songwriter, and truly one of the best rhythm guitarists in the history of rock and roll. He passed away on November 18th this past year at the age of 64 and left us this massive legacy of rock and roll to crank up, to learn from, to be inspired by, and to truly just idolize. So as we do each show every week, let's start from the start and tribute this 1 hour to one of the greatest influences of rock and roll that has ever been. Malcolm Young, he was born in January of 1953, and though he's known as Australian, he was actually born, along with his other seven siblings, in the UK in Glasgow, Scotland. In 1963, when Malcolm was 10, there was one of the worst winters in the history of the UK. There was a name for it that I can't remember right now, but one of these like classic horrible winters in the history of UK, and along with his family, they all moved to Australia with the hopes for kind of like a new start. His family was quite musical, and the oldest brother played accordion and saxophone, and the next two brothers played guitar, and then passed that skill on to the next brothers, including George, Malcolm, and his other AC/DC brother, Angus. This was a pretty important moment here, was when brother George Young met his friend named Harry Vanda, and he became very important in the formation of all the Young brothers' music careers, particularly with George Young. They had a lot of Young and Vanda had this like duo production for a long time and collaboration. They worked together for years to come and were produced some of the first AC/DC albums as well. So most notably, George and Harry had a band called the Easy Beats, and they had a hit called Friday on My Mind in the mid-60s with Stevie Wright on vocals. Stevie Wright would also do some later recordings under his own name as well, which Malcolm would play on some of those tracks. And on a side note, Stevie was considered later for Bon Scott's replacement in AC/DC much later in the careers, but his drug addictions and unreliability stopped that from happening. George Young also had a band with Harry, along with Malcolm and Angus, called the Marcus Hook Roll Band for a short stint. Their other brother, Alex, was also on saxophone in that band. And a key part, Malcolm and Angus both had this kind of a little different taste, what they brought into AC/DC. A key part of Malcolm's musical interest came from the influence from his brother, John, who introduced them both, Malcolm and Angus, to blues, particularly Big Bill Brunsey, who Malcolm just loved. So let's just start here. Let's play some of the tunes that predate the formation of AC/DC. You can clearly hear their dirty tones and styles coming to life that would later mold the Malcolm Young sound. Let's spin Friday on My Mind by the Easy Beats. Then we'll hear Natural Man by the Marcus Hook Roll Band. Then we'll dip a bit deeper into the past with Key to the Highway by Big Bill Brunsey, who I mentioned was a huge influence on Malcolm. And then we'll finish the four-song set with a 1975 track from Stevie Wright called Black Eye Bruiser that Malcolm plays guitar on as well here on Riding with the Queen.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Don't go, but it goes too slow. I'll have Friday on my mind. Gonna have fun in the city. Be with my girl, she's so pretty.
politician, junior boss, a statistician. What did they do for you? Science fiction, dereliction, not forgetting drug addiction. What does it all mean? Man and dragon, guys and bowlers, even good old rock and roller. Wanna change my thinking? Repercussions, more discussions, better go and call a Russian before they call me.
Nine help me with this heavy load. I'm doing West Texas, and I've got to get on the road. I'm going to West Texas. I'm going down behind the sun. I'm gonna ask the good Lord, what evil have I done?
Yes, what a track. Hey there, welcome to Riding with the Queen. I'm your host, Rami Mays. If you're just tuning in, I am paying tribute to featuring the late Malcolm Young and his music career on today's show. We just heard from a few projects that Malcolm and his brothers were in when they were younger, predating AC/DC. That track is so badass, that Black Eyed Bruiser, man, I love that song. That song is so good. And here, now, the epic AC/DC tale begins. This next phase, which was the best and only other phase, really, they had from then on. In 1973, when Malcolm was only 20, he and his brother, formed AC/DC. Their sound would obviously become legendary. They played like this elemental, no-nonsense riff, sort of like this dirty, darkly humorous song sometimes that bridged the gap between punk and metal, and in many ways reduced rock and roll to its like raw essence at a time when many mainstream rockers were going in the opposite direction and trying to like glamify their rock. These guys just stripped it right down to the real deal. Referring to the band's start and the different influences that Malcolm and Angus had, Malcolm once told the Tribune in an interview, quote, "Angus and I had silent dreams about playing in a band since we were kids, always playing our guitars and listening to records. I used to listen to Beatles and Stones, whereas Angus was more into the heavier stuff, Cream, Hendrix, with the lead guitar. I would listen to the songs as songs, the drums, the vocal, the music side of it. I tended to pick up on the chords, the whole picture around the guitar." End of quote. And yeah, that proved to be fairly true, and that seemed to be how their musical relationship went. The band's name actually came from seeing letters AC/DC on the back of their sister Margaret's sewing machine, which a lot of people know it's this electrical term meaning sort of alternate current, direct current, which also seems to make a lot of sense when you think about their band and their style. So Angus was on lead guitar, Malcolm on rhythm guitar, Colin Burgess was on drums, Larry Van Creet on bass guitar, and Dave Evans on vocals. Even though Bon Scott is mostly recognized as the first singer of AC/DC, there was a guy named Dave Evans, and he actually was the first for about a year, until 1974 when Bon Scott took over. And their first single, Can I Sit Next to You, Girl, was actually first recorded with Dave Evans and then later recorded with Bon. The lineup changed a bit before their 1975 release, High Voltage. At that point, the band relocated to Melbourne, and they had a breakout tour opening for Lou Reed in 1974, which is pretty cool. And within a few years, they were just skyrocketing and opening for Sabbath, and their career was completely off and running, and suitably so. Offstage, it was funny because, like, these guys, like, you listen to them, and if when you're, you know, when you're younger and you listen to records, you didn't know what the people looked like, and you couldn't see YouTube videos of them, and you just pictured them larger than life. But Malcolm and Angus both looked like street kids. They were both barely 5'2", which is shorter than me, which is hilarious. And they weighed very little over 100 pounds each. But with the guitars in their hand, they completely obviously delivered these knockout punches. In the recording studio, Angus would branch off to play lead guitar while Malcolm kept the rhythm flowing with his killer sense of time. He had this instinct for inserting a chord or a riff at the precisely right moment. So let's take a musical break here again and play the version of Can I Sit Next to You, Girl, when Dave Evans sang it. And then let's follow it up with a classic Sabbath track as well as a Stones tune in honor the beginnings of their career. I'm such a huge AC/DC fan. This is pretty exciting to me to be able to give this show to you. So I hope you're digging it, and here we go.
Until this guy came up. girl? Can I sit next to you, girl? Can I sit next to you, girl? Can I sit next to you? Can I sit next to you, girl? Can I sit next to you, girl? Can I sit next to you, girl? Can I sit next to you, girl?
Yeah.
Yes, the Stone, Sabbath, and AC/DC. What a trifecta of rock and roll right there. In 1975, Atlantic Records UK head Phil Carson signed AC/DC to a worldwide deal. The first two albums that they did was High Voltage and then the harder driving TNT. They had been hits in Australia, and even the single It's a Long Way to the Top, if you want to rock and roll, peaked at number five. But now plans were made for the band to tour England in 76. And the group had already recorded their next single, Jailbreak, and had already begun recording their third LP, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, when they flew out on their first British tour. The band had arrived in the UK, though, at a weird time. It was in the midst of this like punk movement, spearheaded by bands like the Sex Pistols and The Damned. And AC/DC was never really a part of that movement, but they really truly got misidentified with that style. And they often had to set the rock and roll record straight in many interviews. Here's a great quote from Angus Young about the misconception of their punk identification. Quote, at that time, we were given punk music a good name. That's because that was the word they were using to describe us, a punk band. But they'd get the wrong idea. We weren't punk. But they put us on the same bill as punk bands. And they sure got a shock when they started spitting at us and we spat back. We were never ones for forgetting slumped under a tag or filed under A, B, or C. We started as a rock and roll band, and that's what we play. That's what we do best. We never claimed to be anything else. End of quote. I love that. I love when people don't really have to classify themselves except for anything, just straight rock and roll. So let's hear some of these rock and roll tunes that put them on the map and move their career from Australia to the UK and the USA. There are so many great AC/DC tracks that it took me hours to try to figure out which ones to play. It's hard to choose, but let's roll right here with... I think it's hard to say, but I could say my favorite AC/DC song of all time. It's from the 76 album Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. It's called Ride On. And then we'll hear Whole Lotta Rosie from one of the last Bon Scott albums, Let There Be Rock, here on 101.5. What are we? 101.5 UMFM.
And I ain't too hard to hurry, 'cause I ain't too hard. one way ticket. Gone the wrong way. Gonna change my lane.
very few rock and roll bands.
That was epic. Oops. Sorry, I think I just swore on the radio. But, you know, that was epic. That blew my mind. I actually was stunned for a minute. I really had the opportunity just now to crank that completely super loud. I'm the only one in the station. And I just cranked that super loud. Embarrassingly enough, I might have done, may or may not have done a bunch of air guitar. I may or may not have thrown my hair around like a rock star. But that was an epic, epic tune. All right, we have arrived in 1980. And the journey of AC/DC, and they were faced with a major shift. This was a bad moment for AC/DC potentially, because Bon Scott was found dead in his car after choking on his own vomit from a night of drinking. Or at least that's one of the theories. There are a couple of theories on how he died, but something to do with obviously drinking and being in his vehicle and found there. AC/DC was now faced with a situation where they were now a band without their singer. And Malcolm was one of the voices that insisted that the band go on. He strongly encouraged the rest of the band, and Bon Scott's family actually was encouraging Malcolm to tell the boys, yes, go forward. They were supportive. So he had suggested writing and playing was the best way to move and heal from the death, which ended up being true, rather than stopping and pulling the plug on the project. They started the 1980s album Back in Black, and after trying some options, the band decided to go with Brian Johnson for the band's next frontman, and Malcolm called Brian to let him know. And that was obviously probably a really great call for Brian. As I'd mentioned earlier, Stevie Wright, who kind of has the same sound, was asked, but he couldn't come through. His addictions and unreliability would not allow him to play that role. Back in Black was very successful. It sold over 50 million copies worldwide. Following Back in Black and their next album in 1981, For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, the band recorded 8 studio albums over the next 25 years. And I do think that some of their best albums were the Bon Scott years, but that's just personal opinion. And that's probably why I made the decision to focus on that era mostly through the show. Though I wish I had time to play so many more songs and talk more about the successes from every album, how they were inducted into the Rock and Roll of Fame, and so on and so on. But we are coming close to the end of this hour. In retrospect, I probably could have done a 2-part or even 3-part series on Malcolm and AC/DC, but maybe we'll come back to that down the line sometime. So in 2014, Young became seriously ill and was unable to continue performing. It was in April of 2014 that AC/DC released a note stating that Young would be taking a break from the band due to his ill health. They posted a statement saying the band will continue to make music, and in July 2014, AC/DC confirmed that they had finished recording their next album and that Malcolm's nephew, Stevie Young, replaced Malcolm in the studio as he had for the Blow Up video tour years before when Malcolm took a break to deal with his alcoholism. So a little bit of a rough go, a little bit of a rough time, and then even worse was that by the end of 2014, it was announced that Young had dementia, and that then he had been admitted into a nursing home where he could receive full-time care. Even though Malcolm didn't play on their 2014 album, Rock or Bust, it seemed like he was going to beat all the odds, though, since he had been diagnosed with lung cancer 4 years before after the Black Ice tour, and he had surgery and beaten that. He'd also had heart issues. He wore a pacemaker and was able to stay on tour and rock as hard as ever. So with all these health problems along the way, you'd almost imagine him to have beaten all these odds, even dementia somehow. You got to give it to the guy, though. Malcolm toured and never stopped till his body and mind absolutely stopped him. He was a true rocker, a hero of mine for sure, and many others. Some don't realize as well, like just as a quick side note, he was a total family man. He had a wife of almost 40 years, and in the 70s, it's, you know, that was not easy to have a solid relationship with a woman. They had 2 children, and actually he had grandchildren as well, so Grandpa Malcolm. Hard to do that in the business. It says a lot. Okay, so I'm going to leave you today with a few things. I'm going to leave you with a soundbite from Malcolm Young himself about his take on rock and roll, and then I'm going to finish up the show with a couple of classic AC/DC tracks featuring Malcolm's incomparable tone and style. He may very well have been the best rock guitarist of all time, and I don't think many would argue with that. I am just going to listen to a lot of AC/DC from now on and find every Malcolm track I can and keep that going for myself, because it's a huge inspiration for me. Thanks so much for tuning in today. It was great to be back in the studio. Until next week, you've been riding with the Queen.
There's very few rock and roll bands. There's rock bands, there's sort of metal, there's whatever, but there's no rock and roll bands. There's the Stones in us. And their sound's completely different to us. So we really aim, you know, in an area that's going back in time to, in, with the sounds, still what the old analog sounds, you know. So we try to even keep that. And the sounds are bigger than digital.
Well, what's the difference between rock bands and rock and roll bands?
Well, rock bands don't really swing. Rock and roll has a swing, you know, like you've got your hi-hats. You know, a lot of rock's not got that swing in the hi-hat. It's more... become stiff. They don't understand the feel, the movement, you know, the jungle of it all. It's a feeling.
We'll be right back. Lying on your bed. Well, I asked you if you want.